Actor reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, sisters and brothers from all around the world, from every single corner of this world. Welcome back to a new episode of Back to Reality. Well, this is IRIB English Radio, and I'm Asma as your host. Once more, I have the pleasure to be here with Brother Mustafa and Brother Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Oh, well, I'd like it if you introduce yourself briefly.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. So my name is Sayyid Abdullah al-Musawi, teacher, student, seeker, preacher of Islamic knowledge in general.
Yeah. And you, Brother Mustafa?
My name is Sayyid Mustafa. I am a student here and I'm studying psychology.
Well, very good. There is this very great ritual in Islam, which is going to Hajj. That is actually, that has got a lot of meanings in itself. Every single part of it, every single thing that you have to do during the whole process of Hajj has got a meaning, and it has got something to do with the essence of human beings and their connection with their Lord, with Allah. So why is it? Why do we have such a big ritual in our religion?
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, in His infinite wisdom, that He chose certain acts of worship to be performed because the development of the human being is based on it. So ibadah is not just a ritual that you perform in physical form. Rather, it is a process of nurturing your own spiritual, emotional self as well. This is the actual essence of ibadah. You meant to grow as much as your body grow. So ibadah is the food, the fuel for the soul, as much as food is the fuel for the body. Among the greatest rituals for the growth and the progress and the perfection of mankind, or the perfection of the person, the individual himself, is the ritual of Hajj. Hajj in itself, it's not a physical kind of ritual, even though it seems like one. Run between a stone and a stone and hit a stone with a stone. But rather the spiritual growth out of it and the spiritual essence and the how much you meant to grow and how much your mentality was to shift, it should last you a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Because Hajj is obligatory only once in a lifetime. Which means if you perform Hajj and you perform it correctly, then that should last you the benefits. It should last you a lifetime.
When you actually get qualified to go there.
Yeah, obviously, if you have the conditions, obviously. Yeah. The istita'a is a condition of the Hajj. One and the most important aspect of Hajj, the most important aspect of Hajj, which is based on the narration of the Imam, he says, إِنَّمَا الْحَجْ Hajj is solely and purely knowing your Imam. So if you go to Hajj, is that you have to go there and understand, see, and know your Imam. Mm-hmm. If you go to Hajj and you don't know your Imam, then Imam Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he said, "Ma akthar al-dajij wa ma aqall al-hajij." How many people are just shouting it in? But the true Hajjaj are very few. The one who understood what Hajj is about, it's about the Imam. And that's why we have a hadith that says, at the time of Ghaibah, he says, "Imam, innahu la yahdhur al-mawsim kull 'am." He comes to every year, Sahib al-Zaman goes to Hajj.
Yeah.
وَيَرَاهُمْ وَيَرَوْنَ And he sees them and they see him. وَيَعْرُفَهُمْ And he knows them one by one. وَلَا يَعْرِفُونَ
Yeah.
So people go, they see the Imam, but they don't know who he is.
This is Back to Reality. We're having a very hot discussion in here. So, you were speaking about Mustafa.
I'll maybe make it a bit more personal in the sense that I've done Hajj twice in my life, and that would be about 10 and 12 years ago. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. And I would definitely recommend everyone to do it, especially if you're in your youth. I think you should do it. It's a type of...
So just a personal question. Which part of it was more interesting to you?
I think overall the impact it has on you, just being there among that many people doing the same thing in the same clothes. Yeah, you go through so many feelings and emotions during that time. There's so much energy in that crowd and in those places. And of course, there's so much spirituality to be gained and so many lessons to be gained from that entire experience. Apart from that, I think you walk away from it with a lot of benefits.
Exactly.
I think you still walk away with it with many blessings and benefits. And I can count so many blessings and benefits that came out of my my going to Hajj. And you do get very exhausted. So I would say that's, again, why I would say you want to go in your youth. Something that happened in our culture, I don't know if you guys have it in yours, people wait until the very end of their lives.
Yeah, same in here, because you don't get the chance to go there.
Or they'll say when you get married, right? Then go with your wife or something like that. Mm-hmm. For us, whenever you're capable of going, which means whenever you have the money, the physical capability, you have to go no matter what. You don't have to wait until you get married or whatever like that. You just have to go. So I had a great experience at Hajj, and I would recommend people to go as well.
Yeah. So according to you, why is it an obligation in our religion?
I think the brother covered it a little bit at the beginning. You know, it's part of our development. And we have to remember that Hajj is a complete reenactment of Prophet Ibrahim's actions, right? We're reiterating those. So it's symbolizing Tawheed and how to bring Tawheed into your life. It's not just, as the brother was saying, just a physical act. It's actually a very spiritual act which should change you on every level, on a psychological level, philosophical level. Yeah.
Thank you. So, Brother Abdullah, how is it going to improve me into my best version? How is Hajj going to change me?
Okay, so to elaborate on what Brother Mustafa said, that the idea is that when you do any ritual, be it for Hajj or not Hajj, or be it not even Islamic ritual, we have what we call, there's an athar, right? There's
impact.
There's an impact. Whether we call it athar takwini and athar tashri'i. That, for example, if I drink poison, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is, will take effect on me, right? If I run, I'm going to get healthy. If I do gym, I'm going to get,
in
muscles,
shape. Yeah.
Right? If I go to Hajj, Hajj itself as an action has a reaction. Where the, you know, the, for example, says whoever goes to Hajj, that money of Hajj will go back to him. You'll get that benefit.
Yeah.
You go to Hajj, you'll feel like that. You'll get that. These are the consequences of the action itself. So you know what I mean? So sometimes when I pray, my prayer has an action as well, which it brings with it. It comes with it. So it's attached to it.
The must happen consequences.
Yeah, but that's not the ultimate aim that me and you should be aiming for. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when a person comes to the imam, says, oh, the Prophet system, how do I know my salah is accepted? He says, look after your action after salah. Because salah tanha an al-fahsha wal munkar. After it, what happens? After your salah. Mind you, while he's praying, even though he is heedless of his salah, but during ruku and sujood, for example, the energy, the positive energy, still gets out of his head through his, you know, turba. This is just a physical effect, regardless of his salah accepted or not. So this is one thing that I had to mention when it comes to the brother in terms of Hajj and giving his reward. It doesn't mean that this is the ultimate Hajj. We always obviously have, because we have umum, right, we have just common people, we have khawas, and we have khawas al-khawas, and then we have khawas al-khawas, right? So you always have to, because it's a spiritual action, so you constantly you need to achieve the highest form of understanding that ritual.
Yeah, you have to aim for the best.
You have to aim for the best.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
When we look at Hajj, for example, as being a very extremely important ritual, because it has a capacity to, because I think the brother, he touched upon this, the Hajj is all of it. It's non-worldly kind of metaphor. Everything about Hajj is from the moment you put your ihram, you're dead, right?
Yeah.
That's what it simplifies.
Exactly.
So, and then you move through the stages of the afterlife until you reach your Eid, and then you enter your heaven. And the Ahl Bayt, they explain that in this ritual. Like, when you do this, it means like you're doing that. When you do this, it means you're doing that. And it's all afterlife. It has nothing to do with the life.
Well, we are actually talking about Hajj and how it's going to have the impact on me as the obedient of Allah to change me and improve me into this better version of me. All the people who go there, who have the experience to get there to do the rituals, would say that it's a non-worldly thing. The kind of feelings that you get in there are just the kind of feelings that you did not get to see in your actual life as you go back to your life. So I guess it's going to be interesting for every single person to go through that experience. But still, for the awareness that we were talking about, how to get improved, because we see that many people go there, do the rituals, but then after they're back, they, as if they've done nothing, and they're back to their normal life, to the person who they were before they go.
Or worse.
Or maybe even worse.
Yeah, yeah.
So what makes the difference?
So one thing that my dad would say, and he when he went for Hajj, he said that the reality of a person comes out at Hajj. And that's partially true, or mostly true, I would say, in my own experience, because what happens in Hajj is that you're sort of in extreme conditions where you may not have the right food, you're exhausted,
exactly.
You don't have sleep. So you're under extreme sort of conditions, and that's when the person's real character comes out. You start seeing people becoming selfish. You start, you know, at very small things, or you see the opposite, people are more generous, they're even more helpful. And that translates when they get back to their own lives, right? If they were behaving selfishly during Hajj, unfortunately, they may end up behaving worse when they're back.
Yeah.
Although you may realize that a lot of these people will learn their own behaviors and then they'll improve as well. They'll realize, oh my God, look, I have this weakness in me. Now I'll get better. So it could be anything. It's really about how that person learns from the lessons that they gain during Hajj and how they react after it.
And go beyond the physical aspects of it, just to go for the ideas behind it. So Brother Abdullah, metaphorically speaking, these circling around the single house that is there, what does it mean?
For example, when Shaytan, and this happened before creation, or when God created Adam alayhi salam, he said to Malaika, "Asjudu li Adam." Malaika,
prostrate for him.
Iblis said, "No, I am this. You guys all know the story." When Allah questioned Shaytan, what was Shaytan's reasoning? He said to him,
"I am better than him.
I'm better. He's mud, right?" And then, you know, this, we had the whole story. Later on, it said that one of the prophet wanted to intervene. I don't know, Musa, Isa, and he said to him, "Okay, go to the grave grave of Adam and prostrate, and then we'll take you back." And he's like, "Dude, I did not worship him when he was alive. Now when he's dead, like, you know, give me a break." So the idea, when Shaitan said to Allah, "I will worship you like from now until Azal, just leave this Adam prostrate," Allah said to him, "Listen, you're missing the point. I want the submission."
The praying is not enough.
It is the concept of submission that matters. So the first and foremost, when Allah says circulate around a circle, run from around a stone, go run from a stone to a stone, which is Safa and Marwa, and go hit a stone with a stone. It sounds mindless, yes, but actually this is the embodiment of absolute servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly.
Like absolute submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it doesn't make sense, but I'm doing it. You know what I mean? This is how I...
Because I have been asked to do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, without having to look at the metaphoricals behind it and the
meanings,
meaning behind
the morals.
It. No, I'm showing my submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And it's not as materialistic as it might sound. Just rocks and hitting this with that. Yeah. And, you know, it's more than that. And you should go behind the physical things. So I hope it happens to every single one of us, at least in our youth, because it is going to be a very interesting experience. So thank you for staying with us until another session. I just bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin. يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رازك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رازك لتصي دليلتك once again.